So today we're going to resume a series of messages that was begun last year in 1 John, what I'm calling Papa John Speaks. And the call today in chapter 3 is for us to live into the name God has given us. Let's pray. God, would you bring your word alive to us, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to start in chapter 2, verse 28, and read through chapter 3, verse 10. The words will be behind me. Listen to what Papa John wrote his church family way back long ago. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now that we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother or sister. That's really a pretty strong word. But let's put it in context, and let's first understand the heart of what John is writing. At the very heart of this section of John's letter is an incredible statement about who we are, we being people who have put our faith in Jesus Christ. We are called children of God. Now let me just back up for a moment, and then we'll come back here. And to back up for a moment, I want to take a quick step over to the book of Colossians and look at just two verses. In Colossians, Paul writes, "For he, God, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins." See, we need to understand that picture. What God is saying is when we are born and we are under the dominion of the one who, at this point, is in charge of the world, the devil, Satan, the enemy of God, whoever and whatever name you want to call him. And every person is in his kingdom, if you will. We are in his dominion. He calls the shots. But what Paul is reminding us is that when we confess Jesus Christ, God literally transports us. That's what the word is. It's my Star Trek phrase. It's beam me up, Scotty. God literally beams us out of the kingdom of darkness. And he brings us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, Jesus Christ. We can't make that transfer ourselves. There's no way Kirk can bounce from the planet to the ship just by wishing it. It won't happen. Scotty's got to be at those controls. Jesus Christ, when we confess him, does this incredible move. He grabs hold of us and he brings us into the kingdom of the Father. And there we find love and forgiveness and redemption. We are now under new management. The rules of life have changed. And the power to live life is different because God has transported us. Now that's the Christian understanding of what happens when we confess Jesus Christ. It's not just, oh golly, I love Jesus. God does this incredible thing for us. And understanding that, John writes of that change using different language. See, John says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." When we are swept up by Jesus from the old kingdom and brought into the new kingdom, we are brought there and we are given new names, if you will. We are given a new heritage. We are now God's child. God is over us. God watches us. God, I want to say controls, not as a puppet, but it's the love of God that surrounds us. And he calls us his child, his children. And that was really a great opening song. If you missed the opening song, it was a great song to start worship today. Father, Abba, Pop, Dad. That's one of the rights we get as children of God. He invites us, God invites us to use the most familiar names that we are comfortable with to speak with him. Our profession of faith means we are adopted into a new family. Watch a parent of a newborn. Watch their eyes. I mean, they tell an incredible story. Each one of these people are friends of mine. You might know the guy, John Bonafonte. He did an internship here. Just look at that face as he looks into his daughter's eyes. Nicole here was unable to have her own children. Adopted daughter. And I could probably show you thousands of pictures like that. I've never seen someone post so many pictures like that on Facebook in my life. But it was an answer to so much prayer. And 4 years later, she's still looking like that at her daughter. That was a couple we met this summer. I mean, do those pictures tell a story? And folks, that's how God looks at us. God has rescued us. He has brought us into his kingdom. He has given us a new name. And we are his prized son and daughter. And the neat thing about God is he never loses that look. He doesn't have bad days. You know, if you met him on the street and you asked him about his kids, he'd whip out his wallet and it would be like, here. Which one do you want to know about? I just want you to know you're loved. With a love that's so incredible that it's hard to describe. As a child of God, he has given us his name and everything that goes with it. And I know I'm struggling to paint that picture because I don't know how to paint a picture of love that deep and that real and that sincere. I'm You are God's son. You are God's daughter if you have confessed Jesus Christ. And he has brought you into his kingdom, and there is a security and there is a care there that cannot be broken. If you have time, in the hallway, we have a rack of pamphlets in the hallway. There's a booklet called Who I Am in Christ. And it's just, you know, probably 100 or more scriptures that paint this same kind of picture, just in all its various colors, primarily throughout the New Testament, but also from the Old, trying to explain what it means to be swept up by God and brought into a kingdom and what comes with that gift. I tell folks, grab it and put it in that place where you can read one or two a day just to remind yourself what it means to be loved by God, what it means to be ushered into His kingdom, what it means to have His name. God loves you, and He has lavished on each of us just an indescribable love. And by the way, He loves everybody that way. And He's just waiting for them to turn to Him. And when they turn and confess, He immediately just sweeps them up and brings them into the kingdom too. That's the kind of God we serve. Now, wrapped around this understanding of the heart of God are some words that call out to us about living. How do we live as a child of God? We have a lot of unlearning to do and a lot of relearning to do. You don't just leave a pattern of life and come into a new place and automatically adopt it all. It takes a while to change behaviors. What do they say? It takes 28 days to start a new habit. You know, you try to get kids to brush their teeth, and so you got to get them to do it X number of days in a row. And if they stop for a while, you got to start all over again. It takes a while. And so all the patterns of living that we had developed when we were part of the world, which is simply the phrase that means we're under the dominion of Satan, we have to relearn patterns of life. Patterns of how to relate with people. Patterns of how to relate with God. And so John gives a call now to the people. You've been swept up. You've been brought into this new kingdom. You have a new name. You've got this incredible love enveloping you. And he says, you got a few things you got to work on. And the first one is that we got to continue in Jesus. The words right before. And now, dear children, continue in Him so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming. John's just providing a not so subtle push to say, keep going. Keep working at it. Keep learning how to love God more and more and more and more. Keep learning how to love people more and more and more. Keep at it. Don't become complacent. I'm good enough. I don't have to try anymore. That word continue is a favorite word. You can go to the next slide. That word continue is a favorite word of John. In John 15, it's usually translated abide. Abide in the vine. Continue in the vine. It's that same word for John. And his whole point is keep at it. Don't let up. Keep going. Last week I did a whole sermon on when we want to lay down. And I don't want to repeat those words from Hebrews, but read Hebrews 12, 1 to 3 if you missed it. The whole point is that we stick with the new program. Sometimes it's really hard. Talk to people who are in 12-step groups. And a lot of times, especially at the early stages, there's a There's a start, there's a failure. There's a start, there's a failure. There's a start, there's a failure. Then the failures get further apart. God's okay with that. He knows we're not perfect. That's why He's already told us that when we sin, we can confess our sins. It's the verse Angela uses most Sundays, John 1:9. When we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, go look at the text, from all impurity. So when we come back to God in confession, He washes us clean again. He just wants us to continue. Get up. Start again. Get up. Go again. And the life of God will begin, and those new habits will begin to take root, and that one area will gain victory. And there may be others we got to work on. But the whole idea is that we need to continue. 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 And then the second one is deal with your persistent sins. Now, there was a thing going on back then where people were saying, hey, you know, once you come into Jesus, it doesn't really matter. You can live any way you want. And so John, maybe with a bit of hyperbole, writes this long section about saying, hey, no way, you know, if you keep sinning, you're in trouble, and, you know, all of that sort of thing. He's trying to combat a particular error at the time. But the point that we really need to take hold of is the fact that we do have to deal with any issues of persistent sin in our life. We can't grow complacent and just say, I don't have to deal with that. Now, sin can be things that I do or things I should do that I don't do. It can be either side of that equation. So you're a person who has a problem with anger and rage. And you've kind of learned that about yourself over time. You can't just say, well, that's me. I don't have to deal with it. No. It doesn't work that way. God says, deal with the persistent sins in your life. I had an opportunity to speak at harvest time this past week. And after the service, a woman came up and asked for prayer. And she said, you know, there's this person, and when they come to me, I'm single and he's single and I don't want any kind of relationship like that. And I've tried to tell him. And she said, I'm just kind of nasty to him now. You know, and she said, I don't want to be nasty. I don't want a relationship. I want to be able to draw the line, but I don't want to have to be kind of nasty to do it. Please just pray for me. See, that's the deal. It's when we recognize that we have this issue in our life. I can't relate to this person well. I have this particular problem. It's an addiction. It's a problem in some area, you know. Something happens and I get confronted, I automatically lie. You know, before I even think about it, the lie comes out. Boom. You know, we have this persistent problem. And John's saying, deal with it. Figure out how to deal with it. Maybe this will help. Next slide. Can you read it? This is what happens when you ignore something for a long time, Greg. And he's got this tree growing in his house. See, that's John's point. When we don't deal with something that God has brought to our eyes, to our heart, to our mind, it becomes like those little oak trees, you know, and they just start growing. If you don't pull them out of your garden early, they just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Deal with it. I don't know what your issue is. I have enough trouble dealing with my own issues. But John says, you know, in essence, deal with it. But you know that He appears so that He might take away our sin. And in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. Now, those are extreme words, but that's the point. Deal with it. When God brings it to your heart and your mind, And I'll tell you, for most of us, finding someone to help us deal with our sin areas will be most helpful. Very few of us have the strength to deal with those kinds of things that are persistent, that get a root in us all alone. Find someone who can help. Find a brother in Christ if you're a guy. Find a sister in Christ if you're a girl, a female. And say, you know, after cultivating a friendship, say, hey, can you help me? Here's an issue. Go to a counselor. Go to a Christian counselor. Come and get prayer ministry at the church. Then go to get a counselor. But we've got to deal with those issues of our life, because they're holding us back. You remember Hebrews? He said we're to throw off everything that hinders and so easily entangles us. That's the same point. You know, all the writers, they really talk about the same things, because human beings are the same. Whether you lived in Ephesus, like Paul is writing, or you live in Greenwich, like we are today, or you're lived where the writer to the Hebrews was writing, people are people. And the same basic issues grab us. So in these next couple moments, just scan your own life. Now, as you scan, understand God loves you so much. And He knows whatever it is that have you entrapped. And He knows He can provide the power to break through that entrapment to freedom. Where's God whispering to you right now? Is there a behavior He's calling you to stop, or one He wants you to start? Let's pray. Father, we are loved. With a love that's difficult to fathom, but incredibly real. I pray that from that understanding of being loved, we would accept your invitation to deal with those things that keep hurting us and others. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.